Shanti.
We listen to Ronnie. Ronnie remembers the oldies, the 50s and 60s. We listen to Ronnie. Ronnie remembers the ballads, the rock tunes, the songs we all dance to, the girl groups and boy groups, solos and doo-wop. He talks to the stars of the stage shows and sock hops. We listen to Ronnie. Ronnie remembers the oldies, the 50s and 60s.
Here's a multiple choice quiz for our listeners. All the hit recordings by this artist are A, exciting, B, infectious, C, invigorating, D, rock and roll, or E, all of the above. Now, if you answered E, all of the above, you get a gold star and you've come to the right place. I'm Ronnie Allen, and it's my pleasure to introduce one of my all-time favorite rock and rollers, Mr. Freddie Boom Boom Cannon.
Thank you, Ronnie. It's nice to be on the show, and we're going to have a little fun today talking about different things.
We're going to have a lot of fun. You've had so many hit records that, in my particular case, the most difficult thing is deciding which ones not to include because there's so many. Freddie, you were originally from Boston or the Boston area?
Right. I was originally from Lynn, Massachusetts, which is 7-8 miles north of Boston. Lynn, Massachusetts is a small little town. And then I moved to Revere, Massachusetts. When I really started, that's why I always say Revere, because everything started for me in the music business when my parents moved me to Revere, Massachusetts. Everything just happened then. I got involved with music, and I was playing the guitar and everything.
You actually grew up liking music such as, well, one of the artists that I see written here is Big Joe Turner, the guy that did Kareen Kareena and the original version of Shake, Rattle, and Roll.
Yeah, he's probably my favorite, you know, at the very beginning of this music. But, you know, I liked country music when I first started. I like Hank Williams, and I mean, there was a radio station in Boston that played that kind of music, you know, back, imagine in Boston, which is the East Coast, there's not too many involved with country music, but at that time, what I'm saying is this WCOP was a plow station, and they have their own thing, kind of like an Opry show, you know, and live acts were on there, so I got really involved with it. I loved it. I listened to steel guitars and whatever, it made me get more involved with music.
Were you self-taught on the guitar?
Yeah. Actually, I took a couple of lessons from my dad's guitar player. My dad had a band, like four pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And then he expanded it in some places. He would do six or seven pieces. But he had a guitar player that played left-handed. I'm left-handed also, but I play right-handed. He taught me some chords, and that really got me going.
You actually were on a hit record, I believe, by the G-Clefs.
Right, right. That was 56,
actually.
Right, right.
Ka-ding dong, it got to number 24 in Billboard.
Well, I met a little girl about a week ago, and I felt that I ought to let her know.
You also joined the National Guard.
Yeah. Boy, you really did your homework.
Oh, I try. You drove a truck?
Yeah, I was in the motor pool, and I drove a kitchen truck.
Yeah.
And that was an experience, I'll tell you. It's a long story with that one, but...
I'll tell you what, why don't we save that experience for the next show, because we got so much music to play. We're going to get to the very first hit record. You actually initially wrote a song called Rock and Roll Baby?
Right, with my mom. My mom had written these lyrics, and one afternoon, we lived in an apartment on the third floor in Revere, Massachusetts, on Broadway, Revere. And one afternoon, when I came home, I was working. It was after school.
Right.
And I was working at a little jewelry store and then a record store. I had so many different jobs. She said, you know, can you put some music to this poem I wrote? And the poem was called She's My Rock and Roll Baby. So I started to sing this song with the melody of Tallahassee Lassie. This is how this all started. From there, I had a little local band. We went to the studio. We cut this thing called Rock and Roll Baby. We didn't know if we had anything, you know, until I took the tape home and gave it to a guy named Arnie Woo Woo Ginsburg, a disc jockey in Boston.
The legend.
Right. And then he gave it to Frank Slavin, Bob Crew, who did all the Four Seasons and stuff. They took it back to New York City. You know, one thing led to another. I wasn't there at the different places where I was still in Revere, Massachusetts after that tape left Boston with them. But initial idea and some of those lyrics in that song were still my mom's lyrics. The melody was all of me and the feel. So I guess they rewrote some of the words and made it to Tallahassee and Hi-Fi Chassis and all that stuff. It's like, because Bob Crew is probably one of the most clever producers. I met a lot of them along the way, and this guy, Bob Crew, is probably one of the top five or top three producers in the country. Yeah, because he knew, Ron, he knew how to get ideas and little excitement things to throw in, you know, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for. But he would, you know, the woos were his idea
right.
For me to do that. So, you know, he had all these little exciting things that he would do, and this is how he made records, you know. He was brilliant at this stuff.
You initially were not Freddie Cannon. In fact, you had a group, I think, called Freddie Carmen and the
Hurricanes.
There seems to be different versions of the story as to how you got your name, but Bob Crew personally told me that it was he who came up with the Freddie Cannon name because of a cannon towel.
He said that, and I don't even know. I can't dispute that. All I remember and knowing is that a Bernie Benek at Swan Records didn't like Carmen and thought it was not universal enough.
Bob Crew said that people hear Freddie Carmen, they would think you sing opera.
Right, right. Maybe so.
Any rate, this record, Tallahassee Lassie, was the one that started it all, ladies and gentlemen, for Freddie Cannon, and we're going to hear it right now. Cannon and Tallahassee Lassie, and that was not only the first hit record, but that's the first record that we heard woo. Now, I don't want to be a bass man. I'd like to learn how to do the woo, though. Could you tell me the secret?
Well, I could give you one over the phone.
Okay, yeah.
You want to give you one on the
I want
phone?
You to give me a good woo.
All right, ready?
Yes.
Woo!
Well, yeah, I get it. I just can't duplicate it, so we'll move right on. I just, nobody woos like you do. Was that something that was your idea or Bob's idea? Woo.
The idea to say to me in the studio, because there was a lot of holes in the record, okay? We'd sing Tallahassee Lassie, and the song go on, and then there'd be a little hole for the next verse. He said, we need something, Freddie. Can you scream? And what I was doing, I was trying different screams. Now, when I did Woo, he said, that's the one. Let's keep it. He said, that's the one I want you to do every time we do a verse thing. That's how that really happened. On the record, he did a couple himself, and then later on, I did the rest of them.
Wow.
But I remember, yeah, he did some of them because this is how I want you to do them.
So it was actually a collaborative Woo on there.
Yeah, yeah.
Not only that, but Bob told me that he actually was playing the bass drum,
yes,
too.
Yes, he did. He,
boom, boom, boom.
He used a mallet, that big bass drum, like I said. It was a drum. It wasn't even a bass drum like, it was a bigger bass drum than you see on a drummer's kit. It was like, you know, at the high school band's bass drum.
Right.
A big one like that, and he used a mallet. What he did, he held up the skin of the drum with his hand and hit with the mallet to get a real heartbeat.
Wow.
And that's how he did it. He knew what he wanted. He's very good with making gimmicks and making things happen for records.
Well,
that's why he's so good, because he knows what the kids and the people want to hear.
He was incredible, that's for sure. And I'm Ronnie Allen talking to the, speaking of incredible, the incredible Freddie Cannon, and that was just the first one of many. And actually, the Tallahassee Lassie was more than just that particular record. It established what would be your style of singing for just about every record you ever did in your life.
Yes, it did, Ronnie. And you know what? I just got to tell you one thing. I would have loved to keep doing songs and records like Tallahassee Lassie. I know we moved on to Way Down Yonder in New Orleans and Palisades Park, and we'll talk about later, and all those kind of records.
Right.
But Tallahassee Lassie, to me, was the kind of style that I really am. That describes me to a T. It's more raw. I'm a real rock and roll artist. I'm not a slick artist with slick music. So
right.
When I talk about those other records that I had, they were all good and they were all hits. To me, they weren't the rawness of Tallahassee Lassie. And the only other record that was like that was a record called Buzz Buzz a Diddle.
One of my favorites, and we're going to play that one, too. Right now, we're going to move on to the follow-up to Tallahassee Lassie, and we're not going to play the entire record. We're going to play a little bit of it. Just tell me, where is Okefenokee?
I think the Okefenokee Swamp is in, let me think, maybe Georgia?
Right.
I'm not sure if it's Georgia or Florida. To be honest with you, I really don't know. I didn't even know, to back up for a second, Ron,
yeah.
I didn't even know that Tallahassee was the capital of Florida. I mean, I was young. I was, you know, 19 years old, and then I was on American Bandstand. Dick Clark asked me where Tallahassee was, and I said, I don't know.
Right.
I just said, right on television, which like 30 million kids were watching. I didn't know what it was. The capital. I didn't know my geography real good, you know.
Interestingly enough, the first four records that we're going to play are actually records that have a place name in them. Let's play a little bit right now of Okefenokee. Okefenokee, Freddie Cannon. And your next record was an old song. Actually, I remember a version of Way Down Yonder in New Orleans by Frankie Lane and Joe Stafford.
Way down yonder in New Orleans, in the land of the dreamy scene, there's a Garden of Eden. That's what I mean. Oh,
three old babies with flashing eyes, softly whisper with tender sighs.
Didn't sound at all like what you did with it.
No, I know it. But before them, Al Jolson sang
in
a movie. And that's how this song came about.
The Andrews sisters were on it, too.
Way down yonder in New Orleans, in the land of the dreamy scene, there's a Garden of Eden. That's what I mean. Oh.
Three old babies with flashing eyes, softly whisper with tender sighs.
The owner, Bernie Benick, of Swan Records, you know, way back then, had heard this song on a late... He must have been watching an Al Jolson movie one night. and he heard Way Down Yonder, New Orleans, and he said, you know, we're going to cut this song with Freddie Cannon. This is his telling me this.
Wow.
And I was staying in Philadelphia, and about 2 or 3 days later, they booked studio time and said, come on, we're going to go, we got a couple of sides we're going to cut. And I went over to the studio, and I heard him tell me, you're going to do this Way Down Yonder. I said, I don't want to sing this song. I said, my dad plays this with his band and the trumpet, and they were doing big band music. So I said, you know, the kids won't like this. I said, trust me, just sing the song. When we get the track going, you'll see what's going to be. And they started the track, Slaying Crew, and it was like rocking. I mean, it was really crazy.
Yeah.
And this is what came out. I mean, I don't know how else to tell you. I didn't think it was going to be a hit.
It was huge. It was even bigger than Tallahassee Lassie.
It was really big. In England, it was number one for 15 weeks. So I don't understand that either. But I guess they like big sound, the big band. For that time of rock and roll music, it was different from anything else that was out there. So the kids just loved it.
One of the hallmarks of your recording sound are those fantastic horns.
I didn't think that being with horns would do anything. But, you know, these were the first, actually, before anybody was using horns in this kind of records of music. Nobody was doing it, but, you know, on my records, because Slaying Crew wanted to do that. I mean, you know, later on, Chicago was using horns all over the place. But,
right.
You know, we were the first, I think, doing rock music like that. In one way, it's good. In the other way, like I said, I didn't agree with them with the songs, but I was proven wrong every time.
Well, well, a few million fans around the world can't all be wrong. That was a huge hit, and for a while it was your biggest record, but you had one that actually got equally high on the chart and stayed a little bit longer at the position. We'll talk about it in a few moments. Right now we're going to hear a little bit of a song that was a hit initially for Red Foley, who
right.
I believe wrote the song, and Bing Crosby had a hit record too, and you did your own take on Chattanooga, or Chattanoogie, whatever, Shoeshine Boy. We're going to listen to just a few bars of this particular recording.
Have you ever passed the corner of Fourth and Grand, where a little ball of rhythm has a shoeshine stand? People gather round and they clap their hands. He's a great big bundle of joy. He pops a boogie woogie rag, Chattanooga shoeshine boy. Gary feel as though you want to dance when he gets through. He's a great big bundle of joy. Pop a boogie woogie rag, Chattanooga shoeshine boy.
Chattanooga shoeshine boy, that's Freddie Cannon.
To tell you the truth, Dick Clark on America Bandstand to this day says that that was his favorite record that I ever sang. I sounded better
really?
In that record than all the other records because my voice really came out on it.
Right. And since you mentioned American Bandstand, this is a good time to mention that you probably have the record for appearances on American Bandstand.
Right, I do, 110 times.
Wow.
I feel really proud and honored, you know. I mean, Dick Clark was very good to me in those early days, you know.
Well, I would say.
If you're in Pennsylvania, and if I could just go back to for a second and let you know something.
Yeah.
When Tallahassee Lassie came out, I'm going back to 59 Tallahassee, when it came out, they didn't put the record right out on Swan Records. They tested it.
Right.
They didn't know if they really had a hit or not. So what they did, they tested it. In Allentown, Pennsylvania, know where it is.
And right, yeah,
Boston,
sure.
In Boston, Massachusetts. Well, in Allentown, Pennsylvania, in 1 week, they sold 5,000 records in 1 week. They knew then they had a smash. It wasn't even Boston where I come from. It
right.
was this little town, Allentown, who really gave me the start. And I'll never forget that all my life. I just had to throw that in there because you're in Pennsylvania.
We're going to move to a song right now, which is kind of interesting because none of the songs that were your hit records were what you would call ballads, but the opening part of this record comes about as close to a ballad.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a ballad.
Yeah, it sounds like Jump Over is going to be a ballad, but then it jumps over to a whole new dimension.
You hear the beginning, then it makes you jump. That's like when Bob Crew and Slay wrote this song, what they did, you know, when they brought the song to go into the studio, and they said, look, you're going to have to, like, talk this record. And if you guys talk, I said, I can't do that. It won't sound right. And they said, yeah, just, like, sing and talk it at the beginning. And then it gets into the song, you know. And I said, well, I'll see what happens. And I tried doing it a couple of times. And they said, yeah, it sounds pretty good. You know, try it one more time. And I tried it. They spliced it. They stopped it. And I started to sing the song because I don't sing ballads at all. I'm always singing up-tempo rock and roll stuff. That's the heart of what I like. Just give me a real garage. Give me a real Rolling Stones, raunchy records, and I'll sing them. Like Chuck Berry, I'll sing those with no problem at all.
You could do those in your sleep.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
We wanted to know if we were in love. So we asked the wisest man in town. We wanted to know if we were in love. And this is what he said. You want to know when you're in love? That's the question that's as old as time. You want to know when you're in love? How you can tell it in these elementary signs. By the light in your eyes, the beating of your heart, and the rhythm it puts in your feet. I knew again. The whole world knows that you're radiating what I hate. Happiness is in store, so open up the door. Time to waste and boy, get off the line. Jump over, jump over, jump for joy. You'll love to last a whole lifetime. Jump over, over. Jump over. Oh.
One item of old business, we were talking about American Bandstand. You did all those appearances. I think what Dick should have done is he should have just set aside a room in the studio so you never have to move out of the studio. Just sleep there.
That's true. I co-hosted the show, too, a couple of times.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. When he was gone, he had to do something, and Charlie O'Donnell, who was the announcer for the show, would cue me and give me the thing, and so I was doing on the podium. I did that a couple of times, so even that counts as part of a show. So all of a sudden now, it was Freddie Cannon's American Bandstand for the afternoon, you know, and that was different, you know. I was treated real well over there.
The next one, Freddie, is going to be what I would consider a humdinger of a record. But I'm not going to tell you which one I'm going to play. Do you have any idea?
It's easy.
It's not Palisades Park. Not yet. But Humdinger, is that an original song?
That's an original song by Slay and Crew. They wrote that, I think. I'm not sure if they wrote it. Maybe they got it from someone else. But, you know, there was a promotion man in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, called Matty Singer, the Humdinger. Now, I think... Yeah, that was the guy's name. So I'm just wondering if they got the idea from his nickname. And I bet you that's where they got it. He was a promotion man promoting my records and other people's records. So it could be from that.
Whether or not it is, it's still a good story.
Yeah. Woo!
Girl, 'cause she's a heartbreaker. She's a heartbreaker. Her personality's sweet, knocks you right off your feet. Oh, she's a heartbreaker. She's a heartbreaking witty kitty, California city kitty, swell of a bell of a girl. Well, now anyone can see this tons of sweet property.
We're going to move to another song again, Muskrat Ramble. I don't know if the McGuire sisters were the first to do it. Probably not, but I know they had a hit record of Muskrat Ramble.
Yeah, I think there was big bands in the earlier days. Yeah, way back, you know. And then again, here we go again, Ronnie, with the songs that I thought, these records you're talking about, they all charted and everything, and they sold pretty well. You know, they were big, giant hits, but they sold. I thought they would be anything. You know, kids would not buy this stuff. You know, these are old songs that my dad was playing in the band. You know, like, older people would like these songs, meaning older moms and dads. And I didn't think that would happen, but I guess I was wrong again, you know. They just stuck on the same, you know, they once they got into a groove of big band songs, they stayed with that for a while with me.
I'm Ronnie Allen, and I'm talking with Freddie Boom Boom Cannon. I don't think I asked you actually where the Boom Boom came from. Was that Bob Crew that came up with Boom Boom?
No. It was the disc jockeys like yourself in Boston. Once I started the hit after Tallahassee, you know, I was a local boy, so they were, like, excited to have this young local guy making records, and they were starting to give me nicknames on the radio because of the drums were loud, and they were giving me nicknames like Freddie Cannon shot from guns. Each guy had a different saying. Another disc jockey on WMEX would say, Freddie Cannon, Peter Gunn's daddy, Freddie Cannon. And then I think it was Arnie Ginsberg or somebody said, Freddie Boom Boom Cannon, and that stuck. Everybody started to say it, and it's been with me for the all these years.
It just seems to fit, certainly.
Yeah.
This may very well be my favorite record of yours. I'll say it's one of the top three favorites of mine. Buzz, Buzz, A Diddle It.
Oh, that's my favorite. That one in Tallahassee, as I said to you, the reason why is it my favorite? Because it's raw, it's a band, you know, it's a bunch of guys, young kids playing, you know, in that record, Ronnie, if you listen closely, there's an accordion on that record, which I've never heard of an accordion on a rock and roll record, but it was on there, and they played it, and you'll hear the sound. It was not a harmonica, it was an accordion, and this band that, from Connecticut,
The Saturday Nights.
That's what they did. They had this real scratchy, it was like a Bull Diddley sound. That's what
right.
they had. And that's, you know, and it just struck us as being so good, and I loved it.
We'll be right back.
couple of interesting things about Buzz Buzz a Diddle It. You're talking about a guy that's very, very frustrated, and yet it sounds like a very happy record. I mean, you can't reach your girl on the phone, and yet you still sound happy.
Yeah.
Amazing accomplishment.
Maybe I'm happy not to get her.
Yeah. Actually, maybe it was a good thing you didn't reach her.
That's true.
The other thing that occurred to me is, you know, I don't think I ever met a dog that went bow wow, and I don't think I ever actually heard a busy signal that actually went literally buzz buzz a diddle it.
I think they don't do that anymore, but I think years and years ago, didn't the phone, like a dial tone phone, when you dialed it
right
by hand, I think those phones made that sound.
A diddle it?
Well, I don't know about the diddle it.
Well, I know about the buzz buzz part, but the diddle it part is what gets me.
Maybe the diddle it was the click sound, you know, at the end of the
okay.
buzz. They instead of saying clicker, they couldn't say they used that, you know, so I don't know.
I just love it. We're gonna move now to Transistor Sister.
Transistor Sister was written by Chuck Daugherty. Now, Chuck Daugherty was a disc jockey on WIP in Philadelphia. He was the morning guy. He wrote this thing, and he put it on a little cassette tape and gave it to Bernie Benek. Now, I was playing down in Wildwood at the Rainbow Club. So Bernie Benek drives down to the Rainbow Club, because I'm there for like a whole week. He comes to the motel and says, look, I got this thing on tape that Chuck Daugherty disc jockey. I said, I think this is a hit. And when you get through here, we're going to come back to Philadelphia, go in the studio and cut this song. He thought it was a smash. I said, well, what do you want to do? It's okay with me. And I was just doing everything after being proven wrong so many times. I didn't dispute anything anymore. So we went back to Philadelphia, cut this thing, and, you know, the rest is history. I mean, it wasn't real huge, but it was a song that was different from anything out there. Bernie Benek, God rest his soul, the one word that he used why I was being successful in the music business, with the songs, all my style, what I sounded like, he always used that word, different. He said, if you're different, you'll make it. If you sound like everybody else, you won't do anything. And that's what happened with me. He heard that, I guess, in my voice, in the songs, whatever, and he was right.
This is, to me, one of the quintessential songs about radio. Here's Transistor Sister.
She's my transistor sister. I was a radio on her arm. But no one can resist her. Oh, she loaded her with a musical charm. It's Chris, Darren, and he responds. And it's Matt, Bonnie, and Orbison. She's my transistor sister.
Sister, sister, and that's one of those rhyming songs. Freddie, Boom Boom Cannon, and we got one more of these old songs that you did your own kind of interpretation for me and my gal. Any particular thoughts about that?
there's not really a story. It just goes along with some of the other songs, Ron. There's another old song again, and not thinking that it would chart at all. But they all charted. Yeah, it was amazing that they did. And again, I was against doing something like this, but, you know, I went along with it. I was waiting for the original song. I always wanted to do original material. But in England, they loved this kind of music. I don't know what it was, but they loved the big band old songs done like a rock and roll feel, and they loved it. When I went over there, you could not imagine, here I'm trying to do these songs, and I don't even sing them live, but they had to have me sing these songs live on a live show.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy, you know, because I didn't even remember the lyrics to half of these songs. In the studio, I was reading the lyrics because I didn't know the songs that well. I was too young. And when I got over there, I had to do them, so... You go ahead and go on with For Me and My Gal. Go ahead.
Okay, well, here's a little bit of it anyway. This is Freddie Cannon.
How the bells are ringing for me and my gal. How the bells are singing for me and my gal. Everybody is going to a wedding day.
You have a website?
Yes, I do. It's at freddiecannon.com. You can find me. But the website's not really up to date as far as shows go. I just wanted to throw this in there if I can. February 4th, that's a Thursday night this year, 2010, I will be at the Buddy Holly live show in Clear Lake, Iowa, at the Clear Lake, Iowa Ballroom. I will be there, and I don't know there's other acts on the show, but it runs from Thursday to Saturday. I'm on Thursday night, so I don't know who else is on with me, but... To let the people know, that would be nice if they get down there. I know it's going to be cold. It'll be pretty chilly, but we're going to have a real warm rock and roll show down there, so that'll be fun.
Palisades Park is the next one, and this is the one that just came just out of the blue, a song written by a gentleman named Chuck Barris.
There's so many different stories. I don't know what story you have that you've heard or people have heard, but I'm going to set the record straight.
Sure.
On this record... The original title of this record was called Amusement Park. That's what Chuck Barris wrote. Frank Slade played this song on a piano in Philadelphia, because what happened was Chuck Barris called Bernie Benek. They were friends. I came over to the Swan Record office, and he said to Bernie, can you tell me how to reach Dion? He wanted to give this song to Dion. Bernie didn't know where Dion was. He wasn't in New York anymore. I think he was in Florida by then. I don't know. But Bernie said, well, what kind of song do you have? He says, it's up tempo. It's called Amusement Park. He said, well, why don't you send it over? He said, I have an artist here, Freddie Cannon. We're looking for songs for him. If it's fast, up tempo, that might be perfect. So he sends over a lead sheet of the notes in the song, the lyrics and everything. And Frank Slay and Bob Crew sit down in the office with the piano they had there.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts playing this melody of Palisades Park with those lyrics. Well, Bob Crew, who lived in New York, but Slade did too, would always drive, you know, through the tunnel, and they would go to Palisades Park. For some reason, I don't know why, Bob Crew changed that title because he thought if you zero in on a place like I did all the other songs, that would be better than just saying amusement park. It might be too corny or too universal, not enough, you know? So he's the one that changed that title. I don't think he remembers that he did that, but I know I was there. All the rest of the lyrics Chuck Barris had written were the same, but they changed the title. It didn't take very many takes for me to sing it because it just felt good to me when I was singing it.
Bye.
the sound effects. Those were added later, the roller coaster sound effects.
That's Bob Crew again. I mean, every time you turn around, it's Crew, you know?
Palisades Park is a place that I went to so many times. I was originally from Teaneck, New Jersey. That's where I grew up. Palisades Park was actually in Cliffside Park, New Jersey.
Right.
But we're going to move now to your history teacher. Well, maybe not your real history teacher, but your musical history teacher, Abigail Beecher. What can you tell us about Abigail?
Now, I moved from Swan Records to Warner Brothers Records. Warner Brothers was very interested in me. The thing was, they weren't sure what I was going to have a hit because I didn't come off of a hit record. This was 1964. Mm-hmm. I wasn't coming off of anything. So they were taking a chance, but Frank Slade, who I think had left Bob Crew, found this song from a guy who lived in Nashville, and it was called Abigail Beecher. I hear it was a similar sound like Buzz Buzz and Diddle It, only a little more, had more to it.
Right.
So he said, well, let's go cut this thing. Warner Brothers said they'd cut this record, we'll see how they like it. So I went to Bell Sound in New York, cut the record. Al Caiola, the old guitar player, you know, he's a jazz player, was on the record. He did the guitar sound that you hear on there.
Wow.
Sounds like a chick. Well, that was him. He put a playing card between his strings to get that crazy sound in the studio, yeah. We cut the record, gave it to Warner Brothers, and they went crazy. They loved this song. Like, oh, my God, here's Freddie Cannon. We just signed him right out of the box. He gives us a hit.
Interesting things about that record to me is, generally speaking, high schoolers and grade schoolers had to be respectful of their teachers, and they didn't use their first names. So this record used the name Abigail. It wasn't like Miss Beecher. It was Abigail Beecher.
Abigail Beecher, our history teacher.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the charms of the record. It was you don't normally call a teacher by the first name.
Well, it's a novelty, you know.
Yes.
I mean, who would have a name teacher call Abigail, you know, back then, you know?
It just worked. Well, we're going to play one more record that became a top 40 hit, and this one is called Action. Did you write the song Action?
No, this was written by Steve Vinay and Tommy Boyce.
Okay.
Tommy Boyce was the other half of Boyce and Hart, who wrote all the Monkey records.
Yeah.
And other people's records, but they wrote this thing for the Dick Clark Where the Action Is television show. Now, what happened was, the record was given to Paul Revere. Paul Revere and the Raiders were the host. They were regulars. So Dick Clark, who got the song, gave it to them to go to the studio and cut it. When they cut it, he brought it back to him. He didn't like it. But I don't know. I never heard their version, but evidently it wasn't exciting enough or something was missing in the record. So whatever made him think in his head, that this is Dick Clark thinking now, that this is a Freddie Cannon song, I'm going to send it over to Warner Brothers. Well, when he did, he sent it over to Dick Glasser, who now is producing my records, and says to Dick Glasser, I need this song done, if Freddie can do it, within 10 days, because the show airs in 10 days. Now, I'm at home, living here where I am now, in Los Angeles, in the San Fernando Valley. Dick Glasser calls me, and I go over to his office at Warner Brothers at Burbank, and go in his office, and he puts this record on and says, Freddie, if you can sing this, if we can cut this, you know, it should be the theme song for the new TV show that Dick's doing. Listen to it and tell me what you think. Well, he put it on, and I said, play it one more time. And he played it a second time, I was singing with it. He said, let's go cut it. He knew right away it was me. It was the sound. They had the track on the track of this record. Leon Russell's on piano. James Burton is on one guitar. Glenn Campbell is on the other guitar. David played for Bread.
Well, David Gates was in Bread.
Him.
That guy, that David?
Yeah, he's on the record. Carol Kay, another bass player, is on the record. Had all these big
heavyweight
stars later on. They're all stars in their own right. They were studio bands at United Western. They would go and cut records. They came in that studio that day when I cut this thing, you know, like 3 days after he booked the studio. They came into that studio, Ronnie, and the people listened to this radio show. This is how good they were. They came in, they looked at the charts that Dick Glass had made up. They took two takes. The track was done. Usually, they go over and over. They did it. Two takes, it was done. I come in, I sang the song, the record was done. Now, the background voices were already on the record. Those were Tommy Boyce and Steve Vanette. They were singing background already, so it was already done.
Wow.
He just used those voices, which was easy to do. But what's funny was that this track was done so quick.
Oh, baby, come on. Meet your baby where the action is. In every little town across the USA, there's a spot where the people tangle every day. Just leave your problems and get away. Come on down and listen to the guitar play.
Woo!
Dance, dance, dance when you hear that beat.
Woo!
Dance, 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 get up off your seat.
Woo!
Dance, 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 let your back home slip. Let's go to the place on the Sunset Strip. Oh, baby, come on.
Let me take you where the action is.
Oh, baby, come on.
Let me take you where the action is.
Oh, baby, come on.
Let me take you where the action is.
It's so neat to meet your baby where the action is. If all day long you've been wanting to dance, well, all night long you're gonna have your chance. So don't stand at home just a twiddle in your thumb. You can't resist the sound of the driving drum.
Woo!
Dance, dance, dance when you hear that beat.
Woo!
Dance, 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 get up off your feet.
Woo!
Dance, 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 let your back home slip. Let's go to the place on the Sunset Strip. Oh, baby, come on.
Let me take you where the action is.
Oh, baby, come on.
Let me take you where the action is.
Oh, baby, come on.
Let me take you where the action is.
It's so neat to meet your baby where the action is. Oh, baby, come on. Baby, where the action is. Oh, baby, come on.
I've always wondered why the song itself was not called Where the Action Is. It could have been.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why they wanted not to call it Where the Action Is, you know, but the action was the song, and that's what they loved.
Freddie, before we close the show, I want to say hello out there to your friend Tom Cuddy, the radio man who made this interview possible.
Tom is probably one of the, as far as music goes, he knows his music. I mean, he knows what's going on out there. He is on top of everything, and he's just a wonderful person. He has a wonderful family. We've been friends for a few years now, And I can't say enough about him. You know, I could go on for another half an hour just about Tom Cutty. He's such a nice person. He's got a good heart.
Freddie, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to do this show with me. This has really, truly been a walk down memory lane. And we're going to close right now with a song that you did in collaboration with the Belmonts. And it's called Let's Put the Fun Back in Rock and Roll. Freddie, again, thank you so very much. And I wish you everything you wish yourself. And hopefully we'll talk again soon.
All right, Ronnie. Thank you. And a very happy new year to you and all your listeners and all the radio people across this land around the world. Thank you very much.
The show. And now a couple of bonus tracks by the very exciting Freddie Cannon. This was the follow-up single to Palisades Park, What's Gonna Happen When Summer's Done.
What's gonna happen when summer's done? Every day's been too bad through. I have a ball at the beach with you. Now I'm just go walking hand in hand. Kissing and twisting. Tell me what's gonna happen when the summer's done. When there's no more parties and no more fun. Will I still be number one?
finally, here's Freddie's other song about radio. We heard Transistor Sister, and now we're going to listen to the dedication song.
Don't touch that dial.
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah!
Touch that dial. I'll be back in a little while. Let me hear it.